Welcome to another episode of Working with Purpose. Our show is dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. We're glad you joined us today. Happy New Year, a little bit late for people. We're actually starting a new series today. It's called Trends, Disruptors, Frontiers, and Hacks. And this series is going to continue to help us advance the metaphor of leadership around the agile human body rather than that of a rigid machine. We'll dive deep into that in a little while. I also want to let you know you can join this conversation at davidstarkcollective.com. You can find us on Twitter at Stark Collective. You can also review our podcasts and leave us reviews on iTunes. We'd love to hear from you as we get into our new series here. Justin, I want to talk about what happens for me usually when I was back in the full-time ministry in churches. And what's interesting is I was an associate pastor most of my career. And consequently, I have preached a lot of New Year's sermons, you know, right after the first of the year. But that's not because they think I'm fantastic at New Year's sermons. It's because the senior pastor is exhausted because he or she has to preach almost all of Advent, definitely Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, right? So they kick the sermons over to the associate pastors. But the other reason they do that is because it's about the least attended Sunday besides summer that there is in the whole year. So guess what? We'll give it over to the associates. So I preached a lot of these sermons. And my pattern was every year I go down and get about 5-6 magazines that are talking about what's coming up in the next year. So this year's 2017 is no different, right? And I usually was looking for trends and looking for information for my sermons as I was about to talk about the next year. And now that I'm a full-time consultant, however, I still do this. And as I've been doing this thing over and over again, it's no different this year, I find that besides the word trends has been around forever, and people are talking about projections, but we'll get into trends in a few minutes here. But all of a sudden, these other words were popping up more and more often. So disruptions is hopped up a lot. I see frontiers, and we'll talk about our definition of frontiers on this show. And then hacks, of course. Hacks is probably the newest of those words. And so consequently, I really believe these four categories are going to help us talk deeply about the theme we have here, about the organizational structure around the body, around what this digital revolution and the interconnectivity is doing to all of business. So we're going to take a look at that in our series, and let's try to, with our listeners, help them make sense of what these four categories are today.
That sounds great, Dave. Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
It's a new year, and hopefully we've got more people in the seats than you used to have in the pews back in your associate pastoral days. You know, this week is actually an interesting one here in early in January, in that it's an optimistic time for, I think, a lot of industries, especially the consumer electronics industry.
Mm-hmm.
This week is CES week, the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas.
I didn't know that.
And what's really interesting is that, you know, you talk about trends and the here and now, what a lot of people call the zeitgeist, right? A good German word about the here and now and what's popular and conventional and in society and industry. But at CES right now, you have people I've seen in my Twitter feed alone this morning, Dave, some of my buddies riding these virtual reality roller coasters that Samsung has. So in their giant booth, Samsung has, like, it's basically a ride you would see at Disney World,
mm-hmm.
right, where they put you in and you're actually moving around in this contraption to kind of simulate a roller coaster. And then everyone has strapped on a virtual reality headset.
Yes.
And you just see them, like, screaming and freaking out and giggling and, you know, and it's such a powerful stunt. And it's just, but, you know, that's CES time, you know, that times a million is CES. Like,
yes.
Everything is just here and now and awesome and great, and it's the next big thing. And it's a perfect, I think, microcosm for what we're talking about today, right, in terms of this time of year is all about top 10 lists and predictions and what's going to happen.
Yes.
And, you know, from a business context, I would say that right now on LinkedIn, the same thing with CES, everyone's like, oh, this is the greatest thing and this is the hottest buzzword, and that's what we're going to unpack in this show. A lot of times, though, it's not helpful.
Right.
Right. It's just not helpful. And it's our job to really take the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah, it is.
And that's really what excites me about this series that we're jumping into, Dave, is that that's what we're going to help our listeners do, right? We're going to help them think about these things within the context of what's actually valuable and meaningful.
Yeah, and cut through the noise and get to the substance. That's exactly what we're going to do. So let's start with the first of these, Justin, which is business trends. And we're doing a specific definition. Our definition involves looking at statistical analysis of historical data over a selected period of time that chart the progression. If the data suggests consistent increases, consistent decreases, or even constancy or flatness, flat lines, there exists a trend. For example, online purchasing has been going up significantly year after year for about 10 years as an example of a trend. A couple of our consistent resources are trend spotters, and we'll be bringing some of the important ones that are relevant to business in 2017. And these, again, are the ones that are actually researching and talking about long-term things that are happening. One word of caution I'm going to say about trends, though, is you and our audience knows that we talk a lot about volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous world, the VUCA world we're talking about. So just like you said, we're going to be filtering out fads. That's not what we're going to talk about on here, right? And we're going to focus on lasting trajectories of change, things that business can lean on and say, yep, that's going to be here. And so how do I take advantage of it or maximize that direction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the themes we're going to be talking about is the impact that technology has had on some of these trends. And I wanted to actually bring up one of the hot off the presses list here, Dave.
Go for it. Okay.
Right? This is a top list of digital trends for 2017. And this is Forbes doing it. Now, I think Forbes is a nice balanced media organization. And so the list here, I think, is actually pretty good.
Yep.
There are others that get a little crazy. I like those, too. They're fun for entertainment value. But
yes.
Forbes has a good one. I'll just list some of them and come back and tie them together here before we move on. But so essentially like a top five or so list. First one on their list was augmented reality.
Mm-hmm.
And think of Pokemon Go. You know, remember Pokemon Go?
Yes.
That was, this past summer was so huge.
Yeah,
right?
Talk about fad, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen so many people, like, in a park
right.
at one time, all on their phone, like, fighting other virtual people, like, in the same area. It was strange. But the thing that I saw about that was I was so amazed at how the potential for augmented reality to kind of put this augmentation on top of reality to do positive things,
mm-hmm.
like to get people out of their house and do things outdoors.
Yes.
You know, whether you're trying to collect a Pokemon ball or whatever it is, it's getting people out and getting them active.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon Go ends up being kind of in the fad category,
yes.
right? If you look at their adoption rate, they were a huge boom and then a splat. You know, they've tapered pretty fast mm-hmm. as well. But
the one that's going on with like that right now is called, I think it's called Audible. And it's where you have story playing while you're working out.
Oh, yeah.
They take you into a...
People read you stories.
That's right.
It's so nice.
As you're working out.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
takes
great.
You into another world.
Related to that, the number two trend was live video streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So think of Facebook Live and think of Instagram has it now and certainly Snapchat and others. But the first presidential debate ever was live streamed this year.
Mm-hmm.
So live streaming is going to be a big thing. Third one was data visualization tools. This is all about, you know, big data. We have so much data, we don't know what to do with it.
Right.
And so we have to take that and put it in a way that's consumable by humans, and this is a good way to do
yeah.
it.
On, many times on LinkedIn, there's these great charts that are easy to take pictures of, and they're really visualizing data.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really great. So it's a big trend. Anyway, at the bottom of this list, Forbes says, hey, make sure you don't just jump in and do these, you know, take all these at face value, you know, consider them for your context. I mean, so they're basically saying, hey, these are trends, but apply them carefully.
Yes.
Right. So I think that's very smart.
That's great. And one story just about trends before we leave this, and that is that a good example of why we have to be cautious. I have a good friend who was one of the best investment analysts in the Twin Cities for decades. Fabulous. And he, would go back east every, I think that meant November or December of every year, and he would meet with the Goldman Sachs guy, all the best there were, and they would sit down together and you know, talk about trends, and therefore predict what stock categories would be every year. You know, they make these lists between the best brains. And he confided in me. He says, Dave, we usually were dead wrong. So it's really filtering through all of that and saying, all right, let's look at the real thing.
Right on.
It's going to be here.
Yeah. Hey, just a quick note to those of you that might have joined us. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Join us anytime in the conversation at davidstarkcollective.com. Find us on Twitter at Stark Collective. And listen to our podcast and give us a 5-star review.
Please.
On iTunes. It's a new year. We need more stars.
We need stars.
Please help us.
I guess we want to be stars. All right. So let's talk about disruptions or disruptors. And we're also going to use this in a very technical way. A man named Clay Christensen at Harvard was the one that really first put our understanding of disruptions that we're going to use in the show. And disruptions are this. He defines it in business as a disruption that displaces an existing market or an existing industry or an existing set of technologies and produces something new and more efficient and worthwhile. So disruptions have been accelerating because of this digital revolution we've been talking about, Justin, and they're changing everything. And the reason they are is that the digital revolution represented an inflection point in history. An inflection point means, historically speaking, is what's in the future is not the same as what's in the past. You cannot use the past assumptions at all to understand the future. And that's an inflection point. That's why it's influencing everything in many, many industries right now. And that's why disruption is coming up and up and up again in many places. And so we'll be talking about those along the way here. But an example we can just think of, the typewriter was disrupted, right? The LP was disrupted, although it's coming back. The newspaper basically has been disrupted, right? And television right now is almost being disrupted, although it's being now used as a computer, et cetera. But these things are just coming down. It's interesting. Accenture had this great ad, I thought, I think it was in Forbes magazine. It said, digital disruption is not a trend. It has become a business necessity. With analytics, interactivity, that's interconnectedness, and mobile, every digital capability imaginable, we can help you unleash new value and possibly the next big digital breakthrough. That's their ad part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the point being is that disruptions are becoming necessities in certain places if you don't respond to them. Mm-hmm. If company A is responding to it and you're not, that you may find yourself disrupted.
Right. You know, CNBC this past year rated the top disruptors of the year, and they did a top 50 list, and we'll put in our show notes. But top two were Uber and Airbnb.
Yep.
And then the list goes on and on. Number 10 was Coursera, and kind of building the platform of education for the future, things like that. But what's interesting, Dave, is all of those usually are business model innovation. You know, a lot of them aren't bringing new products and services per se. They're remixing and reassembling these things together in a new business model.
Yes.
The other theme that's extremely potent in all of these, it's all about connection,
mm-hmm.
right? Interconnection, connecting, you know, Uber is just connecting drivers with riders in a unique way. Airbnb is doing something very, very similar. It's all about interconnection. And again, mm-hmm. that's our big thing of this show is that, you know, this isn't the old paradigm of stamping out widgets in a factory. This is about connecting things.
You bet. Yeah. Therefore, right back to the body image that we're talking about here.
Got That's it. Exactly
so,
right.
Yep. So let's we're going to be right back here. We'll be back in a minute, and we're discussing frontiers and hacks on the backside of this program. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Be right back.
You're listening to Working with Purpose, a program dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business, and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. We'll get back to more in a moment. First, I want to remind you of the opportunity to dialogue with David and Justin on these important topics. You can join the conversation, sign up to receive blog posts, get updates on upcoming events and offerings, and more through their website, davidstarkcollective.com. That's davidstarkcollective.com, or find them on Twitter, at Stark Collective. David and Justin are also available to speak on a variety of topics related to working with purpose, and will help you go beyond discussing these concepts to putting them into action. They team up together to advise and consult with businesses, organizations, and ministries. Find out more by going to davidstarkcollective.com and opening either the speaking or consulting pages of the platform. Now, let's get back to part two of Working with Purpose.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Please visit and join the conversation at davidstarkcollective.com. You can find us on Twitter at Stark Collective or listen to our podcast and write a review on iTunes. Give us good ones in this new year so we get a jump on our Nielsen ratings, right? Okay, let's jump back in. We've been talking about trends, disruptors, frontiers, and hacks. And the backside of the show, we're going to talk about frontiers and hacks here. So let's talk about frontiers. And that is, it's interesting because there's going to be every month this year in the MIT Sloan Review, a whole bunch of digital frontiers are talking about them all year long. And this is how they define it. I love this talk because it leads right into the theme of our program. He says frontiers have always been around, but many of them right now are in the digital space today. As the head of the MIT Sloan Management says, he puts it this way, technology pervades organizations across the globe, yet organizational life form, think about, you know, pyramids versus networks, if you will, thus far has transformed relatively little as a result. The way we lead organizations, even less so. And we're talking about both those things on our show here. I believe that it's about to change and is the new frontier we face. Today, there's a growing wellspring of research and insight exploring technology's foundational impacts on management and structure. We are exploring this theme week after week, and we look at all the new master image of organizations as living systems, especially the human body. Leadership also is changing, and we'll show its parallels to the different understanding of the New Testament has on this topic also. For example, Jesus said very clearly that people that are lording it over others, think pyramid here, is not so in the kingdom. And so he builds a complete different understanding of leadership based upon the organizational structure of the body of Christ. And we'll be looking at a lot of those themes also and how parallel they are in terms of the changes that this editor is talking about here. So we're going to talk about those in terms of frontiers.
Yeah, and frontiers are all about change. Right?
They really are, yep.
And one of the things that I've come to really appreciate is change from a perspective that's outside of business, and that's in science. And a really great book on this is called The Structure of Scientific Revolutions.
Yeah, that's one of your favorites.
Yeah, it is. And Thomas Kuhn wrote this, and it's a fantastic read. I think he wrote it in the early to mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, it was way ahead of its time, and still is, honestly. But he talks about how scientific revolutions come about. And Dave, people think that revolutions come about because the science is just marching in this linear path and it's just getting better and better and better. And pretty soon just, you know, the strength of the argument behind the data and the science is so strong that everyone just adopts it. And that's how revolutions happen. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. Right. I mean, like any other human enterprise, you know, we gum up the works.
Yes.
Right. And
yes.
There's so many different factors that go into this. But the line of science is not a straight linear one. It's very wavy. It goes up and down. Sometimes it points backwards.
Yes.
And so it's really, really interesting. And so it's very far from what people think. But the parallel here with business is so strong in that, you know, when we're working with frontiers, especially with knowledge, we don't have the containers to put all this new knowledge in,
yes.
Right? The industrial age paradigm that we're stuck in is still stuck with, you know, humans are just widgets or just workers on a machine that's kicking out widgets. And a knowledge economy couldn't be different, farther from that reality.
Yeah.
And that's why we need a different container to hold all this knowledge and all this new work product. And that's why we think the metaphor of the body is such a strong and appropriate one, because it allows us to be nimble and allows us to take knowledge and build upon knowledge in this new economy that we have.
Yes, and we're trying to define at least the outlines of what that looks like and its connection to the Bible, so people can see that this is not just, you know, postmodern, if you will, but it's ancient. It's
right.
Connected to the tradition deeply.
Right.
Along the way. And just doubling back on what you said, and that is that it's interesting that way back with Copernicus, for example, we knew that the sun was not revolving around the earth. But even when Galileo and Kepler proved it in the time of the Reformation and the Renaissance, the problem is that Rome hadn't proved it yet. And so the Inquisition, you know, basically caged the guys for their whole life, you know,
mm-hmm.
put them in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they didn't have the containers.
Right.
to understand, because they had so married themselves to a different way of looking at the world. Mm-hmm. And so it's always a volatile time, but it's also an exciting time, because this one's headed towards where the Bible was going anyway, which is great. So let's look at hacks, right? And we have a favorite hackologist, and our favorite hackologist is a guy named Gary Hamel. And Gary Hamel actually has a whole website where he has people list their hacks. But here's how he defines hacks in terms of how we're going to use them. The guru of management hacks is our favorite, Gary Hamel. He says to tackle big, thorny, boundary-pushing proposals for challenging the way organizations work and leaders lead, from strategy to allocating resources to rewarding and compensation workers, requires hacking management as we know it. So that's exactly what he's headed for in all of this. A hack can be simple, like a better way to run meetings. For example, in the business community, the popular, I'm going to forget it right now. We'll get it in the show notes, right? There's a really popular way that people are using to run meetings now across their organizations. And that's actually happening in many, many corporations right now. That's a simple, the one he's talking about here. But it can go all the way to the overhaul of systems in an organization. And, of course, we're going to talk about systems all the time and their overhaul as we go forward. So we'll be doing that along the way as we go. But we usually think of hacks as something really awful. For example, we just saw the hack of the Democratic Party's, you know, computer base or the off links of that. And we're seeing that it had major impact on the election, regardless of whether Russia was behind it or whoever it was. The point is, it had a huge influence. And so that's the bad sense of hacks, in the sense that they're destructive. Not everybody would argue that, but that they really aren't moving us forward. They're kind of moving us backward, if you will. But there's many positive ways to use hacks also.
Yeah, and hacks don't need to be shown in a negative light. In fact, the way that Gary Hamel places it is very positive, and we do too, in that hacks, you know, at their highest level of meaning, a hack is really about change.
Yes.
Think about, I mean, hacking really came from programmers, and what programmers would do is take existing things and rearrange them, turning them into something useful and helpful. And that's what a hack is. And just a couple of examples of positive hacking, Dave, for our audience. One is the open source movement, which started in software,
yes,
right, to be able to release things that everyone could use. I'm learning a new language called Python, and Python's an open source language. It's like the language of data science and machine learning.
Yes.
It's all open source. It's a beautiful thing. I don't have to pay anything for it. People contribute to it, and makes the product really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
We also like things like the business model canvas in our lines of work. That's from that's a Creative Commons product that's been hacked together from other derivative works.
Yes.
So same kind of thing. But the main tip that I would have for everyone here is just, in this case, beware the Zeitgeister. So if you're going to hack your business, don't hack it with saying that you need your company to be more like Pokemon Go.
Right.
Right. Think of it being, you know, you want to understand more fully your fundamentals as a business and use that as your platform for using hacks. Don't attach it to the things that are variable and fads in nature. Attach them to the things that are constants, like consumer behavior and things like that.
Yes.
So we'll talk more in future shows on that topic. But, man, that's a good word of caution. Make sure you're attaching yourself to something constant instead of variable.
Absolutely. And I'll give you a good example is when all of this interconnectivity, you know, kind of hacked into universities in terms of their communication systems, and they all became interconnected with each other, which is a big collaborative platform. I've shared this before, but at the University of Minnesota, for example, one of the lead scientists said that before we were interconnected with scientists all over the world, where we could share, right, and up there with each other, and coins, we talked about coins long ago, but we only could tackle one disease over a period of 10 to 15 years to try to advance it. He says, now that we're collaborating with scientists all over the world with this new hack, we basically are tackling all seven major diseases all at once. Because the more information collaboratively shared, interactively shared, interconnectedly, all of a sudden we just, our learning curve just goes vertical. It just gets much, much faster, and we make a lot more progress. That's a very positive hack on the communication systems in terms of what they're using all over not just universities, but many other things also. So we're going to talk about some of those real powerful things as we go. But what we want to talk about now is that with all of this change, I want us to remember something, and that is God doesn't change. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And with all of these technological changes, the one thing that hasn't changed is that good and evil hasn't changed. And the reality of the gospel and the need for grace in our life is constant. And we're going to come back to all of the wisdom of the scriptures. But remember, as we're talking about these things that are exciting and also confusing, we're really going to be grounded in the fact that God is forever, and that he's the Alpha and the Omega and everything in between that, right? The author and the perfecter of our faith. And so we will be coming back to how to kind of clarifying the things that are important for business, but also completely grounding us in the reality of what our faith brings to business. We look forward to having you in this series.